Atlanta. They've won three in a row. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. In the NFL, guys, when you lose three in a row, and there are plenty of teams around the league who are dealing with this, you start to press. When you win three in a row, you realize you have one of the better teams in the National Football League. And that is where we are after our 38-20 win. And here's the deal, Mike, for me. We've been saying, what's this offense supposed to look like? Here's the best thing about what has happened over these last few weeks. We can win in different ways. Last week, it was Kirk Cousins for 500 yards, hitting various receivers down the field, putting the team on his back. Yesterday, Mike, it was the run game that allowed you to run through the Carolina Panthers, which is something we talked about all week. Run the ball. This is not going to be hard. They had a bunch of injuries. And once we stuck to it, both Bijan and Tyler Algier had a great day.
Yeah, man. And this is why. Remember in the heyday of the Patriots when Brady was there? Of course, they had the GOAT. But remember how Josh McDaniels, if you don't like players on the Patriots for Fantasy League, one week they'd throw for 300. Next week they'd run for 300. But that's the kind of versatility I think you want to have. Now, it may confound fantasy owners, but those who cares? You're right. To go for over 500 yards passing one week and then over nearly 200 yards rushing the following week, that's awesome. Only thing really left for us to bellyache about is just the defense, you know, at times, you know, kind of gives up the big play, still struggling and stopping the run and the pass rush. We'll talk about all that, but I just thought it was fun to see them go on the road. And, you know, for the most part, yes, the touchdown before halftime made the score closer, but really in control of that game after the first quarter.
Well, and again, if Clark Phillips puts it in the touch, you know, puts it in the end zone, that score is what, right? 45, 46 to 20. It looks completely different. But at the end of the day, I don't know if we played our complete game. But the offense, I think, from an identity standpoint, this is what we want to be. I don't need Kirk Cousins to throw 500 yards, guys. I need him to throw for 225, 250, 275.
Good to know he can, though. Good to know he can.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, that's why talking about winning in different ways is part of this. Learning how to win is one thing, but learning how to win in different ways. We have something we haven't had in 3 or 4 years, a quarterback who can do that, if need be. But, Mike, balance, running the ball, and taking the pressure off of Cousins, who, again, is not the most mobile guy. We knew that coming in. And I feel like, is this our best win? I don't know. This is a bad Carolina team. I was upset at the beginning of the game because I didn't feel like we came out with urgency. And then, Mike, talking to some people up there at Flower Branch, they were telling me at halftime guys were PO'd because they felt like they were not playing at optimum speed, at optimum, you know, execution. And then you come out in the second half and you do what they did.
You blow doors. You know, I mean, as we said, it's kind of funny to hear it on the on NFL Network. They're going, really? A.J. Terrell hasn't had an interception in 3 seasons? Yeah, it was the debate over the contract. But he got one, and it was big. And look, yes, you could argue Andy Dalton was going to give Carolina stuff, and he was going to take things away from Carolina because he's at this stage of his career. He can't execute. Same age as Kirk Cousins. But yeah, great to see Clark Phillips get a pick as well. And just an effort of the balance when it comes to Tyler Algier and Bijan. You and I talked about one of the great things of 2016 was how good Shanahan was at finding that balance. When do I run with Free? When do I run with with Tevin Coleman? And it always seemed to work out. And that's what I love about this game. And it isn't really Thunder. It's basically Thunder and Thunder. You know, just two different styles, but both guys getting it done.
No doubt. Bijan 15 for 95. That's 6.3 a carry. And then you had Tyler Algier. And I just tweeted this out. I said, man, that boy run hard. 18 carries for 105 yards. That's 5.8 a carry and a touchdown for him. Bijan had two. Let's hear Raheem Morris talk about the running backs.
We talked about it the whole year, but to watch those guys pick up blitzes and put their face on big people and big men running through gaps to try to hit Kurt, to keep people off of them, that is impressive. To watch those guys take the handoff and take the fake to open up some of our play-action games, that's impressive. And those guys have been big for us all year. No matter what stats say, no matter what we ask them to do, they do. They play together. They're each other's biggest, you know, supporters. And I'm so proud of them.
Mike, you remember when we talked, I think it was Tyler Algier, but Bijan has said this too, and we were talking about his relationship with Bijan, and he was like, man, we're brothers. They use that term to even us as how they talk about their relationship.
And it's legitimate. I mean, I know you've heard us talking about it up at camp. They've got a tremendous rapport. We talked about the work that Tyler put in this offseason. See, that's the thing. How many guys in this league, when Bijan kind of becomes the man, obviously, with the high draft pick, you sulk and you just kind of whatever. He's always ready for his opportunity, and I think that Zach Robinson loves his game and is finding that perfect blend. Love to have seen, you know, Bijan either one go for 100 yards over the number, but hey, we got the results, brother. That's what it's all about.
That is 404-726-0929. 9. It's a Falcon Monday, guys. We're certainly going to talk about the Dogs as they get ready for the biggest matchup this coming weekend in Austin against Texas and what they did against Miss State. We'll talk about the crazy landscape of college football as well. And on the way, you'll get a chance to hear from Tyler Allgeier here coming up a little bit later on this hour. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. You can text us. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Going into this game, Mike said, I'd like to see Friday, last week, Bijan get into the end zone. He not only got into the end zone once, but he got into the end zone twice.
Third and three at the 5. They're going to hand the ball left side. Here's Bijan Robinson. Touchdown, Atlanta. Bijan Robinson on a quick snap. Score standing.
Three receivers. And Bijan Robinson. Quick toss to Robinson. Left side. Bijan inside the 5. Bangs into the end zone for the Atlanta touchdown.
Gashing these guys again for 6.3 yards a carry, and it's good to see him get in the end zone. Again, could this happen every week, Mike? Are we going to see him do this every week? It's what we hope.
Right. Now, I think there was a bit of a dip there in the middle of the this first 5 or 6 games with an injury. You know, the hammy's a little more tight and it kind of kept him out. Then we talked about the Bucs game where things kind of became one-dimensional in the pass game. Still had an impact in the pass game. We just got some seriously, amazing athletes and the virtuosity, Carl, like Drake London, the tough catches, right?
Yes.
See the catch he made? The only thing really, and Pitts had a big catch down the sideline, and I couldn't help not ignore it because they talked about it. They showed the video. Only thing I didn't like out of this game is Pitts kind of just spaced out on a ball out to the corner of the end zone that his frame and his athleticism could probably catch.
Yeah, well,
and he was called out by because you couldn't ignore it. Mark Sanchez, even adult boy, is he tough to listen to. Even Mark Sanchez, Carl, really got after him on it.
You know what it is for me, and I hope this is what they're probably telling Kyle Pitts. This is when your wide receiver or your tight end is as locked in as your quarterback. Situational football. I know I'm looking at exactly what my quarterback is looking at, and my quarterback is looking at me and telling me, look, here comes an all-out blitz. I need you to be there. And I don't know if they were on the same page, but it did. Mm-hmm. Mike, it didn't look good from the way that he just stopped as if he didn't know where he was supposed to be or if he was going to run that route out or not. I agree on that. With that said, you saw, again, all of these guys, whether it be Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell, or Drake or Kyle Pitts contribute to this win yesterday. Should it have been more? I think running the football yesterday was key to winning this game. I don't think we needed, again, to throw for 400 yards because the game plan didn't necessarily call for that. But I know that was a play that stood out for a lot of people.
I know that Zach Robinson talked about it in the post-game comments with the media about, he said, talking to Cousins at halftime, what do you want to do? Cousins, like, keep running it. Cousins has been around this league. He knows what's going on. Go with what's working.
Yeah, he's absolutely seen it. Here's the thing I will tell you. If I'm going to complain about anything, and I'm not complaining about anything, really, be honest with you, but we talked about this team getting to the quarterback. Give Andy Dalton credit, okay? He was especially the first half. He's completing the balls. He's getting the ball out of his hands. But, Mike, this was the moment that set up their score right before the half, and I just want to point it out. These are the plays we absolutely have to make. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and a lot of Falcon fans, you guys were there supporting our team and certainly showing up. It was a Falcon takeover. But 1:46 to play. The Drake London score, which is what Mike was talking about. It's third and goal. And by the way, we were great in the red zone, 50%, and we were great on third down. But we convert that, and it's a touchdown, not a field goal. So that makes it 22-10, okay? They get the ball back, and they're driving right before the half. And, Mike, this was the play. Lorenzo Carter has Andy Dalton in his grasp. If he could just make the play, it's a sack, and I guarantee you they do not go down and score. But because he's not able to do that, and if I showed you this replay, you'd be like, how does he not make that play? He has him. He's grabbed him, and Dalton breaks away for the long scramble, okay?
Right.
And that ultimately sets them up in the red zone, and they end up scoring, which was the score, again, that kind of went, guys, this was a 5 or 6 point game in the third, going into the fourth quarter.
Right. That's where, it's almost like, we'll talk about Georgia and Miss State. Different, obviously, apples to oranges, but let the team kind of hang around. I just hated that touchdown before the half. That was one of, if you don't allow that, Carl, hold new a field goal, different dynamic. But this team, you said it, in the red zone, doing the work, and still wondering, and something you and I have talked about, is it the scheme? Is it, Ebiketie had 6 sacks last year. Does he not fit what Jimmy likes trying to do? Lorenzo Carter, we've talked about him. You just mentioned nobody looks more the part, but sometimes just leaves you just wondering why he can't get to that spot and make that play. That's frustrating. And do we pursue maybe trying to make a trade? Because if we're, let's just say, 5-2 or 6-2, it's the between week 9 and 10 is this trade deadline, Carl, November 5th, a Tuesday. Do we maybe try to search for some pass rush? Because we just don't have it in the building right now.
It's possible. But we're not gonna be the only ones.
Right, exactly.
And now with the Lions' injury to Aiden Hutchinson, they may be in looking at this as well. Listen, they think they're a Super Bowl contender.
Everybody talking about them now wanting to go talk to Jets about us. Well, of course, they're going to see the Hassan Reddick and see there's a hole to fill. I don't know how that would work salary-wise, but that's certainly a conversation you're hearing right now.
DeMario, want to give him a big shout-out. He says, man, I've been waiting all day for Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell. At put him up. See Dukes at Mike Bell. I've been waiting all day. Let's blanking go.
Hey,
guys,
maybe DeMario
three in a row.
Maybe DeMario can figure out. I got to ask you. I know we got to cover all the bases. I still don't understand the fumble. I still don't understand what the hell happened. You got to explain this to me, brother.
All right, we'll get into that. We've got a lot to get to. Falcons win 38-20. And by the way, I mean, Tampa beat down the Saints yesterday, which obviously helps us. I think we said this, right? This division is between us and Tampa. That's where it's at. A lot of work to do, but a great day to be a Falcon fan. We're coming back with plenty more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, everybody.
Hello.
You should be smiling, waving to people on the road. Feels good. And I love this tweet from Kevin. Kevin from Charlotte says, no more depressing Mondays in the fall. What a life this is.
Right on, baby.
You know what? We've been through it. I mean, listen, I've said this. We've been in an abusive relationship, and we're coming out of it, and it's great because you feel good about the team. Listen, I'm not going to tell you that we're the best team in the NFL. I don't know who that is right now. The Ravens look really damn good. I mean, you could talk about the Chiefs, who are 5-0, and nobody's even talking about them, but the fact is, Mike, we're in this mix.
Right. Now, the Lions are probably the best team right now, but they lost one of the best pass rushers in the league. So, and again, that's a gruesome injury. We'll talk more about that in the blitz at the top of the hour. But, yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of teams you could look at and say, they look like they maybe passed the eye test, but we're right in that mix. We're certainly viable. And, guys, the people that you see on some of these national shows, they don't know what the Falcons are. I mean, if you're expecting to get somebody who watches 5 minutes of a Falcons game is going to give you the insight, that's why you stay with a local station who knows what we're talking about.
No doubt. 92.9 The Game is where it's at. You can find us on Odyssey.com as well. Tell your smart speaker to listen. It's easy. Just say listen to Dukes and Bell or listen to 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, coming up, we'll hear from Coach after the game yesterday. We'll also get a chance to hear from Tyler Allgeier. When he got drafted, I said this, and watching him at BYU, he was this dude, and his attitude has just been so perfect. When you draft a running back, and we said this, it's easy to get in your bag and say, all right, well, how am I supposed to be used? And how many carries am I going to get? He doesn't whine. He doesn't complain. And Mike, when he gets his opportunities, he takes advantage of it. And this is what I loved about Zach Robinson yesterday. When he saw, okay, and whether it was Raheem on the headset or not, when they saw him starting to get all these yards, they're like, keep running him. In the fourth quarter, right, guys, he was key. It was almost like a two-headed monster. Bijan early in the game and then Allgeier late.
As we said, that's, you know, the book of Shanahan, 2016. You know, that's the way. And it was one of the things, ironically, that Sarkisian couldn't get the vibe on. Remember that Eagles playoff game? Yeah, you know, Free was, you know, no, it was Coleman was the guy he needed late. But it's sort of this sort of spidey sense that Zach Robinson is developing now with the running backs. And you said it. It's just great. And you win to run the football on the road, something Kirk Cousins talked about, especially when you get to the playoffs. That's something to have in your bag. So, yes, we've shown you the ability to get into a shootout. We've shown the ability to run and take over the second half.
404-726-0929. Keep all the positive tweets coming, man. That's what it's about. Because Twitter can be so negative.
And hey, by the way, you and I said this a few weeks ago. There's some good things that are happening. It's not being built in a day. We were obviously upset by the way the Steelers game played out. Got hosed by the Chiefs. But you look at the rest of the season, we're winning. We've won every division game. Now the Seahawks bring another bag of trouble and problems that we have to face. Certainly a mobile quarterback, a guy that, you know, can also sling it all over the field. But we also feel pretty good. I think we could score some points on Seattle.
Absolutely. Mike, when you're talking about back-to-back performances of 30-plus points, right, which is what we're talking about for us, we could have put up 40 yesterday. Again, Clark Phillips is like, I'm chilling. And that's fine. I mean, but I agree with you. I think offensively, we're in probably the best place we've been in a very long time.
Obviously, we need to score more points.
Oh, we are. We are scoring more points.
That was 38 points on the road versus the last two times. Compare and contrast, sports fans. The last two times we went to Charlotte for football games
horrible.
With this.
Horrible.
Thank you.
Horrible.
Big difference.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other.
It's really not. Hey, coming up, you'll hear those interviews. Turtle is doing all the things today. Our executive producer, he's also engineering the show. Big O is off. Let's hit some headlines. Let's hear from our quarterback. We talk about my quarterback. Kirk Cousins on Algier and Robinson.
Thought both Tyler and Bijan ran really hard. And obviously, there's a couple runs by Tyler where that second effort was really impressive. You know, they're also doing a great job in pass protection and catching the ball in the pass game. So they continue to show up for us as complete players.
They are. And when he says complete players, that's picking up the blitz. That's doing all the extra stuff that we talk about that they need these guys to be able to do. Raheem Morris was talking about, let's keep this momentum. It's three straight.
Where it looked really good and threw for 500 yards. And this week we were able to run for 200. And that's a good football team. That is a sign of a really good football team when you got to find ways to try to beat them. And we're taking what you're giving us and going out there and dealing.
That I agree with. Remember he told us last week up there at Flowery Branch, we'll be up there on Wednesday, guys, to talk with our guys up there at Flowery. And he said last week they took away, or they wanted to, that was the Bucs, Bijan. So this is what we had to do to win, and we were able to do it. This week we were going to force you to stop the run, and Carolina wasn't able to do it.
Nope. And we, conversely, on the defense, struggled with Chuba Hubbard. He's been, you know, looking good against everybody. No sacks against Andy Dalton. I thought Matthew Judon, by the way, it's reminded me a little bit of John Abraham. If you just watched him on isolation, he's getting held on every damn play, and they finally called it late in the game. But, I mean, they literally were putting chicken wings for guys who wrestle on Matthew Judon on almost every friggin' play.
No doubt. Mike, you were at the game in Athens. Dogs win, and we're going to talk to Connor Riley coming up from Dog Nation at 4 o'clock. 41-31. But let's be honest. They're 5-1. But it don't feel like 5-1.
That's why I think people are going, well, what the hell's going on with the student section and everything else? You know, it's just you've created this monster of expectation. And that's what Dabo had to deal with over there in Clemson. The game itself, you know, you let Mississippi State score 14 points in the third quarter to start the second half, and it's an inferior team, but they're hanging around. Michael Van Buren throws for 306 yards and 3 touchdowns, and gets shoved by Kirby on the sideline. You know, and by the way, I still don't know how that's not a bigger story. I'm not trying to turn this into Woody Hayes in the Gator Bowl against Clemson back in the day, but it still kind of blew me away. Kirby did apologize, said he called the coach, talked about it with the player. Either way. But the game itself, Georgia, unless this was the greatest sandbag effort, I just don't think you let an inferior opponent hang around like that. That's a 1-5 team that's 0-3 in the SEC, and they were still hanging around.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the SEC.
The defense doesn't pass the eye test. If Martin Van Buren threw for 300, what the hell is yours going to do in Austin?
Oh, I'll tell you what he's going to do. Mike, it's not Vandy. This is the worst team in the SEC. And they came into your house and put up 31. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. You just got exposed a little bit. And if I'm a Dog fan, we got to be concerned about what this means moving forward. Again, I'm not saying Kirby's not going to coach these guys up. The coaching staff knows where they were. They were not great, including in the secondary. Listen to Kirby after the game. He was not happy about the way the secondary played.
Frustrating some of the things in the secondary. 50-50 balls, I don't think we won one, maybe one. 50-50 balls out there on the perimeter, and we worked really hard on that, and give them credit. They got some good wideouts, and I thought their quarterback gained confidence throughout the game. He made some plays early. He struggled, and then as the game went on, he made some throws that were good throws, and they beat us on.
Now, for Dog fans, here's the deal. A win is a win is a win. We say it on this show. It doesn't matter what team we're talking about. All of our teams win, right? 41-31, I don't care. Here's the issue, though, right? It's how you're measured to the standard of what the program is set for itself. And, Mike, this is a Dog team that has not blown out anybody.
No.
They've not blown out anybody where you went, wow, man, look how well they're playing. Even in the Alabama comeback, as amazing as that was a loss. But the fact is they haven't been able to put a full game together. Are they going to do it this weekend against Texas?
See, that's the thing. I just, you know, watch. This is the first game this year I got to see Georgia in person. The defense, just the secondary, too. It just doesn't look elite, to use Kirby's phrase, right? An elite defense. It just doesn't necessarily pass the analog. You know, if you look at some of the other teams around the league, I mean, Alabama's defense doesn't look special. by any stretch. I mean, we'll talk more about that with Connor coming up at 4 o'clock. I mean, South Carolina should have won that friggin' game. And now all of a sudden people in Tuscaloosa are like, can any way we could get Saban to, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but as far as, you know, we're talking about Georgia, this is one where, look, you play, you know, you play the games because you never know the outcome. But right now, who in Athens, I'm talking to fans after the game, people are going, damn, I hope we can find something between now and Saturday in Austin.
Totally agree. And listen, Glenn Schumann calls the defensive calls, guys. How do you allow Miss State? This is my question. How do you allow Miss State to score 31? Like, what are we doing?
Well, how about this? Run the damn ball. Take a wild guess. Mississippi State is 120th in run defense. Teams are averaging over 5.13 yards per carry.
Not Georgia.
But why? I mean, ETN, I think he averaged out like 3.5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's great that Carson Beck's throwing for 459 yards. I'll need that next week. Run the freaking ball. This is driving me. Like, I know I don't be like dying on this hill. I'll die on this hill. Run the freaking ball, Bobo.
Kirby Smart talking about what lessons he thinks his team learn as they get ready for Texas this upcoming week. It's a top five matchup, guys, and everybody's going to be talking about it. Here's Kirby.
Lessons. I don't know that much of it carries over to Texas. You know, the defensively, you can't give people things. I mean, we literally gave 14 points. And I'm not talking about the fourth and two that we don't cover the guy in the flat. I mean, I'm saying they earned that. But we gave 14 points. We gave up two back-to-back wheel routes in the first half, and then we gifted them one on three third down conversions in the second half. So
Kirby's right. He's right. They gifted them, and those things you can't do. Listen, you can overcome this against Miss State. You're not going to overcome this against better offensive teams, Mike.
Well, I mean, the freshman wide receiver Mario Craver. It's like get somebody on this guy. You know, I was sitting. A lot of the big plays happened right by in front of the Georgia bench, and just watching these guys running, and there's like nobody in the sector. You know, and that's just I'll belabor the point because Carl, you're playing the soundbite. I went back and looked it up. Miss State is giving up an average of 201 yards a game on the ground.
Georgia didn't run for that.
I don't like the game plan. Now, they rushed for 146, and it was a sum of its parts. I understand you want to save ETN for the Texas game and everything else, but to me, play some more, I don't know, or maybe they're incapable of playing that kind of physicality because of the injuries on the offensive line and all the pieces they've had to move around on the O-line. Maybe that's the answer to that question.
DJ Diesel says, they blew out Clemson. By the way, Clemson's one of the hottest teams in the college football right now. That Georgia loss may have sparked them. Their quarterback's playing great. Diesel, you're right. He says, but I'm not feeling great, warm, and fuzzy about UGA as I did last year.
No, and I think Clemson looked like the Falcons did the first week of the season. Remember they had all those dumb penalties, false starts, stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And the ACC is also really down, if we're honest. But we'll see when they play Miami.
By the way, do have to give a big shout-out and a mention because I was losing my mind. Because I thought Georgia Tech had this thing wrapped up. And North Carolina comes back, and I got to tell you something. That touchdown by Jamal Haynes, I was screaming like I was his dad. When he broke that run, it was absolutely bananas. And congratulations to Georgia Tech. Coach Key needed this one. Guys, they dominated this game.
But it's always a shootout up there. It's always a shootout against Carolina.
Mike, 500 yards, you know, offensively. They ran for, 200 and some odd yards? I mean, rushing 371 yards for Georgia Tech. They dominated this game, and it came down to a play at the end of the game that had to be made. And Haynes was running his butt off. He had 170 yards. So big shout-out, Georgia Tech, and you know who they've got this weekend?
Notre Dame.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting.
This is a game that you, on paper, you'd say, yeah, you're going to take care of it. But it's weird, Carl, weird things. They always become dial-a scores with the Tar Heels.
Notre Dame coming in, 3:30 ESPN. But believe it or not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins already for Georgia Tech, Mike. And they're not done. They are competing their butts off. All right, we're coming back. You're going to hear from Coach as one of our listeners, Manny, tweeted in. He said, Dukes! Positives, I love the offense and how it's coming along. Negative, run defense and the pass rush needs to get better. But, guys, we're winning, and that's all that matters. Manny, thank you for the tweet. We'll hear from Coach and Tyler Algier next. Lots of guys hitting us up, and ladies, saying, hey, I am a little bit concerned, and I'm guessing that's how your voice sounds, about the Dogs moving forward, only because, again, it's about, and I'm going to use this phrase that the playoff committee uses, all right? Game control. It's about game control.
where there's not a point in the game where you go, we got this. There's no way these guys are going to come back. You didn't feel that way against Miss State, and I get it. So get the things corrected. I think they'll give a great effort in Austin this weekend. They are going to be not favorite guys, and coming off of the Red River rivalry, why would they be with Texas beating Oklahoma and this being on the road? But, Mike, the problem with Georgia is again, they haven't yet to play a complete game. And so many guys are hitting us up saying, well, you know what? They're going to back these guys to a corner. They're going to come out fighting. Well, let's hope so.
I mean, I got to be honest. I think 3.5 points is a little light. I mean, I never bet against the home team. You guys know that. But it's still, it's tempting because you look at Carson Beck. We know he's capable of putting things together, like 459 yards he just threw. But this is on the road against a defense. You know, we think of like sometimes we thought of them as finesse. No, Texas is playing some great defense, okay? But this is one that you've got to have a balanced attack. We've already talked about the issues on the offensive line, missing that super-duper star who's healthy on defense to be the difference maker. Unless this is great. Look, Carl. If they go on to beat Texas, no one's going to remember what they scored against Mississippi State.
No.
But it's just hard, as some dog fans are agreeing, to just kind of feel that this team passes the eye test as a truly elite. Now, real quick, I know we got to catch some headlines, but the other thing is, you got teams right now in college football all have losses. All the elites have got a loss, say for Texas. You're going to have an NFL. So you've turned college football into the NFL. The regular season becomes less meaningful, and it's just a matter of how hot you are at the end of the season. And if you play in your championship game, even if you don't, if you could put a 3 or 4 win streak together at the end of the season and have some momentum, that's what you're going to carry into this playoff.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I don't like it, but that's kind of the way it feels like it's trending.
Well, I agree, and then I don't. I still feel like you want to obviously be the champion of your conference. There's some weight behind that, and I do think the better the top four teams, whomever they're going to be.
Oh, there's stuff to play for. You want to get that rest.
Yes. You want to get the rest. You're going to want to prepare. And I think it's going to matter. But to your point about getting hot, this is why I think we will see upsets. There's going to be some upsets that we don't expect. And you go, well, I didn't see that coming. But that's what's going to make this playoff great. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to hear from Coach right now. He talked to Dave Archer after the game. And Coach is pretty excited. And so are we on a Falcon Monday.
Standing beside our head football coach, Raheem Morrison. Raheem, just get something out of your special teams. Harrison blows through, gets the block punt. That was a big play in that moment in the game.
Huge change of momentum for us. Getting the block punt, giving it a short field, having a chance to go down there and score again. You know, our special teams continue to show up big, and they did it again today.
A.J. stood up strong, got another big interception, deep in your own territory. Again, another big play defensively.
You know, the defense, we always want to talk about pass rush, but these guys are in the back and they're covering. And to go out there and get the picks that they got today and to be able to get some of the things done, I'm fired up. A.J.'s one of our leaders, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Tell me about Salt in the game there away. Raheem, you guys are in control, it looks like, but you still need to put another score on the board. You go on a 12-play, 84-yard drive and seal it with Tyler's touchdown.
You know, it's a great job by our young coordinator, Zach Robinson, just maturing with the game and getting better and better every single week, and us going out there and running the football, us going out there having the patience, playing our game, getting better every single week, and I love it.
I do, too. I was happy for AJ because we talked about it all throughout camp, about him getting an interception. You know, getting more picks, him being a ball hawk, and a guy hit me up during the game yesterday, and I said, I need him to be more of a ball hawk. And I'll be damned, he gets an interception. And so, you know, maybe this is the start of a run, Mike, but right now, when you talk about the Falcons with interceptions on the season through 6 games right now, I think we have 6 or 5 picks, all right? And then we've got 2 fumbles for a total of 7 takeaways. Right. But I want to put that in perspective. The Green Bay Packers have 17. We have 7. Buffalo Bills have 9. The Steelers have 11. The Bears have 13. We still have another level to get to, but these takeaways, Mike, have helped us tremendously with getting the ball, our offense going and scoring, and us not being as concerned about the pass rush, even though we are, because we're getting turnovers.
Yep. I know that we've talked a lot about sacks, too. You know, like we always joke around about Mike Smith, one of our listeners said, Giants got all the sacks. They ain't doing nothing. Yeah, they got Daniel Jones at quarterback. They ain't got a running back.
Yeah.
But they did, if you saw, they also held the Bengals to 17 points last night.
Well, there are a bunch of teams that got 3 and 4 sacks yesterday, but not all of them won the game.
No.
And that's the thing.
I mean, Denver has, you know, the second most sacks they couldn't handle. Again, their offense couldn't function yesterday against the Chargers. The one team which has both ends of it is the Vikings, coming off a bye this week. But they've got 20 sacks. We, you know, we always talk about Coach Flores' aggressive style on defense.
Yep.
Sam Darnold's still looking good, and they got great players. Ravens 19, Texans 19, Bears. How about the Bears just smoking the Jaguars, man?
Yeah, Jags are – that's a problem. And I got to tell you guys, and I hate to say it because the kid's from here and we support him, Cartersville, stand up. Trevor Lawrence is not playing well at all. at all. And you can say it's Doug Peterson and the coach and the staff and the scheme. He's not been good all season. There's an issue going on in Jacksonville. Let's hear from our other star of the game, Tyler Allgeier, Mike, after the game as he visited with our own Dave Archer.
Solomon Brothers player of the game, Tyler Allgeier, over 100 yards rushing, got your first rushing touchdown of the season. Tell me about just the way you guys ran the football.
Yeah, no, I would say we really ran physical and then dominant. I think that's the key word, and I think the O-line, from the O-line, tight ends, and then the receivers as well, they just killed him. They just killed him. It was good.
You had one particular run in the last drive where you guys went 12 plays, 84 yards. I think you got contacted about 2 yards down the field, and the play ended 16 yards further down the field. Where's that coming from, dude? Because you're like a I was calling you a ball of razor blades. Nobody wants to touch you.
Yeah, come on, man. You know, I think so really just the finish and just the angriness. A lot of people say I run angry. Yeah. I guess you can say that. I guess it's just a bowling ball mentality, I guess. But, contact, boom, and then it was just a finish between me and the O-line and then everyone else just pushing and falling forward for yards, so it was good.
All right, last thing for you. Winning a game like this and running for around 200 yards, there's a physicality attached to that. What's that do for your identity?
Yeah, no, it's good. I think we've been licking our chops for it. The past couple of weeks, but I know I think just being able to show it on film that shouldn't be forgotten. So it's good.
Solomon Brothers player of the game, Tyler Allgeier, 105 yards rushing, a touchdown. Way to go, man.
Sure, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be forgotten.
Now, you and I were joking around about why can't we get a yard earlier this year and some of the games has cropped up. Well, look, there you were. There was a giant floating, moving butt fumble type, or a butt push, I should say, you know, the tush push that you see the Eagles run. And that was just like a rugby scrum rolling down the sideline that Arch was talking about with Allgeier. Love that guy's game. Crow and I, you've heard him on the show with us, just a really rootable dude.
Nice guy. And works hard, man. I mean, we told the story where, like, we're waiting for his interview at camp, and I'm like, how many balls are you going to catch?
Boom, boom.
And he's over
boom.
There. It's like 200 balls.
I mean, I think he broke the jugs machine. But you know? And we said it earlier for guys who missed the first segment, and the fact that he has such a great rapport with Bijan, that it truly is, you know, each guy's got each other's back. There's no weirdness or pettiness, and it's just all about the result.
All right. Of razor blades.
Yeah, it is, man. And here's the deal. Guys around the league, when you watch Tyler Allgeier, you got to make a decision. Am I going to stick my head in there? Like, how am I going to tackle this guy? Because he is going to break usually the first or second tackle and get another 2 or 3 yards. You got to make a commitment. And Mike, that there are very few guys in this league who run like that. Derrick Henry is another one, obviously. You got to make a commitment. Am I going to stick my head in there? How am I going to tackle this guy? So Tyler Allgeier, great to see him get off the way he did. Bijan, this run game, lots of positives, guys, and that's what we're talking about today. And I don't want to hear any of this crap about how bad Carolina is. We knew that going in. That's why I was concerned. We knew they were bad, but you handled it. And you took care of business.
Right. I mean, we're supposed to do with an inferior opponent. I know it's college and pro, but that's why, you know, in Carolina, they came back to score. If you can just find a way to minimize, and that's where the pass rush comes in. You couldn't let – Dalton could literally pat the baby with the football and then find that receiver. And that's something that we have got to tighten up. Now, I don't know if that's going to result in a trade, if we're going to start blitzing more. I felt like we blitzed a little bit more
at times, too. I did, too. Yeah. I felt like we came after him a couple of different times. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. So let me ask you guys, did we find the identity of this team? Because I feel like this is what we want to be. This is what I thought we would be week in and week out, meaning we are going to make a concerted effort. Now, the one game this didn't happen was the game we lost 2 starting offensive linemen, and it completely changed the game plan. But week in and week out, we're going to make a concerted effort, Mike. We are coming after you, and we're going to run the ball, and we're going to break you off for at least $120. But if we break you off for 200, it's a problem, and it opens up so much more in this offense for Kirk Cousins.
It does. You know, this is a team where, you know, we've talked about where we're at with this offensive line. This is the depth. We didn't have this depth in the years past. The next man up has actually been able to do the job. Now, we did, you know, if there's one thing I thought, it just still bothers me, we just didn't show the pressure. And it just seems like we've seen too many quarterbacks. Every game this year, quarterbacks have had too much time to throw the football. Offense, as we said, not the concern. And I think we've pivoted each week. We talked about Pitts. Now, despite whatever that was, you know, in the end zone, he did contribute, had a nice big catch down the sideline, moving the chains. But the defense still now is the one thing that you feel. Now, is that schematic? Or is that just simply the Jims and Joes? And how do we get Epikadi to be more of an impact guy? He's not been an impactful player in this scheme.
No.
Under Jimmy Lake. Was last year.
Correct. I mean, he had, what, 6.5 sacks, right. I think, last season. And I don't know what the fundamental difference is, Mike. And maybe we'll ask specifically this week with Coach about that, because I don't necessarily know if they're asking him to do something completely different. He was drafted as a pass rusher. That is his specialty. That's what he does. He's in there on third downs. I just don't feel like we're getting guys to the ground. Again, I go back to that Lorenzo Carter play before the end of the half, but I'm like, come on.
Right.
That should have been a sack, which would not have allowed them to score. Now, at the end of the day, it didn't come back to bite us, but those are the plays you absolutely have to make, and we're not making those. We're getting the picks. We're getting on the fumbles. We're making the right catches and moving the chains. But those sacks, man, they're eluding us for whatever reason.
And a couple guys hit us up earlier saying, you know, the Mike Smith line. Yeah, I mean, his point was, and
sacks don't matter, Carl.
Pad level matters.
Yeah.
No, but Smitty's thing, what he always say to us was, you have to affect the quarterback. Now, it might not result in a sack. Okay, but we don't affect. Okay, I'll give you that, Smitty. I'm arguing with a coach who's been gone now for years. We don't affect the quarterback. That's the problem right now. We open up, by the way, as a 3.5-point favorite against Seattle. It's down to 2.5 right now.
Interesting. Yeah, that's going to be a fun game, too, on Sunday. All right, coming back, we got our NFL Blitz. Connor Raleigh's going to join us at 4 o'clock to talk about the Dogs and college football. It has been a crazy college football season already. I mean, this Saturday was bananas. Ending with that Oregon game was just crazy.
I didn't like Ohio State, but Ohio State shot themselves in the foot.
They did. They absolutely did. We're coming back. Caleb Williams balls out, and I think they are the best team in the NFL. I'll tell you why next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ball of razor blades.